You are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Day one of Broncos camp is officially in the books as of yesterday, and the Broncos are back on the practice field at the UCL Training Center in Inglewood, Colorado today for day two of padded practice. Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Locked On Broncos podcast, your daily bite-sized podcast here at the Locked On NFL Network, where you can get the best news, coverage, and insight into all things orange and blue related. Today's episode of the show, we're going to recap yesterday's practice at UCL Training Center in Inglewood, Colorado. It was hot, and there were, you know, not a lot of fans were out there, and you have to wonder whether that's due to it being a Thursday or due to it being really, really hot. But I expect the attendance to jump up over the next couple of days and into next week. And today, Cameron Parker, co-host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, will be at Broncos camp alongside Sarah Bettinger, editor of Predominantly Orange, and we're going to have them on the show tonight as we dive into tomorrow's episode of Locked On Broncos, kind of recapping everything that goes on today so you guys get an episode every day, special coverage because of Broncos camp. And I will be there next week, Wednesday and Thursday, out there at UCL Training Center in Denver once again for the Broncos coverage. It'll be exciting getting jump on there next week with Ronnie K over there, Mile High Sports, on the morning segment of theirs. Looking forward to doing that with him, and obviously going to be joining him weekly during the NFL season to talk Broncos on the Ronnie K Show, Mile High Sports. Going to be a really, really fun thing to do over there, but I'm excited as always. I'm your host as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. So today's rundown of the show, segment number one, we're going to go through some quick camp recap stuff, a little bit of an injury that occurred yesterday and what to expect maybe going forward with whoever it was. I'm not going to explain it right away, but you guys already know who it is, but we're going to get to that in segment number one. Segment number two, we're going to talk a little bit about guys who stood out yesterday in practice, guys who made some plays, guys who, you know, maybe had a little bit of a rough day. We're going to go through that in segment number three, guys who got off to a slow start day one of Broncos practice at OTAs. We're going to hear a little bit later on, too, from former Broncos safety Nick Ferguson, host of the Safety Blitz at 104.3 The Fan. He's going to jump on here a little bit and also give us some of his insight from being there at practice. And also, I want to remind you guys here for Locked On Broncos, if you guys use Postmates, I have a really special deal for you guys today. Now, Postmates, you know, personal food delivery, grocery delivery, what kind of delivery service that they provide all year round. If you use Postmates for a limited time, Postmates is giving Locked On Broncos listeners $100 in free delivery credit for your first 7 days. So all you got to do is download the Postmates app today and enter promo code Locked On, and you'll get $100 in free delivery credit for your first 7 days using the Postmates app. So I want to thank Postmates for that on today's episode of Locked On Broncos. So let's dive right into it. Let's dive into some of our camp review from day one of Broncos practice at the UCL Training Center in Inglewood, Colorado for the Broncos. And the talk of the town, Joe Flacco came out calm, cool, and collected. Fans were chanting Joe Flacco throughout the day. Obviously, guys got a standing ovation. Philip Lindsay got the biggest ovation from the fans, from everybody that was there and accounting for. But let's talk about some of the storylines here with kind of the first part of this segment one here on Locked On Broncos. Some of the storylines. Now, the biggest thing, the Broncos came away yesterday with a little bit of an injury, and this happened towards the end of practice. Todd Davis, something happened with his foot at ankle, and after he was seen on crutches, and he's going to go through and get an MRI, but the belief is a calf or a foot injury. It's not believed to be too serious, so I think the expectation, the hope as of right now, is that maybe he misses a week or two, but nothing that, you know, you should be concerned about long term. So there's some optimism there. Obviously awaiting the results of the MRI to come back for the Broncos at this point for Todd Davis, and we'll figure things out along the way there. But definitely an interesting first day nonetheless. Outside of that, you know, you come away, like I said, if you can come away with training camp without getting banged up, how having injuries to major guys, that's good news there. But, you know, unfortunately, day one, the Broncos come away with a little bit of an injury to a guy that does have a big, big role on this Broncos defense in 2019, and Todd Davis. We just spent yesterday's episode really talking him up a little bit, so I'm going to be really intrigued to see how things go with that. But also, as Aaron Burbridge, we announced yesterday, his agent called the Broncos, said he's retiring. The Broncos waived him yesterday, meaning that the Broncos had to replace him with Stephen Dunbar Jr., another player who came off the San Francisco 49ers squad. And we're going to hear a little bit from Nick Ferguson, who was a coaching intern for the 49ers last year under Kyle Shanahan, and obviously working under former teammate John Lynch, who's a general manager over there for the 49ers. Has some familiarity with Stephen Dunbar Jr., and we're going to get a little bit of an insight on maybe what he can bring to the table. Maybe a practice squad candidate, can be a surprise candidate as well. So there's that. And also in some other news today, yesterday, Kobe Wadman, punter for the Broncos, he was dealing with a family issue. He did not make it to practice on the first day of Broncos camp. Coach Fangio says he's dealing with the family thing. He'll be back whenever that's taken care of. And Bug Howard, tight end, he was out of practice yesterday as well. He caught a bug. He was sick, and so he did not make it to practice yesterday. And who knows whether or not he's going to be there today for practice. I'm not quite sure yet. We'll find out as everybody gets back on the practice field today for day two of Broncos camp at the UCL Training Center in Inglewood, Colorado. Very excited to see all Broncos fans there. I know Stater's excited to be there. Cameron's going to be excited to be there. We're going to hear from them a little bit later on. And tomorrow's episode of Lockdown Broncos, recapping what they saw up close and personal from their time at Broncos camp. Sarah was there yesterday as well. And based on the accounts of what Sarah had said, guys that really stood out to him today, obviously Philip Lindsay, a guy that had a lot of burst, and Troy Fumagalli. I mean, we're continuing to see a little bit more of Troy Fumagalli, but the thing that I think we have to take into consideration when it comes to Fumagalli is, can he consistently do it? You know, you can't just go in and just kind of put all your marbles into the basket after one day of a good practice. It's about consistency and getting things going. So according to Sarah Bettinger, Bradley Chubb, Philip Lindsay, the secondary for the Broncos, Troy Fumagalli, Andrew Locke had impressive days. And there are some other guys in the secondary we'll talk about in just a moment coming up in segment number two about who stood out. And I'm excited to talk about it because it's one of my favorite players on the roster in terms of a position that I love to death, and that's the cornerback position there. But definitely some intriguing storylines outside of the injury with Todd Davis. The Broncos came out of yesterday's practice relatively healthy and getting ready to go on day two. Coach Fangio says that for the Broncos, this was just kind of a getting used to the tempo, getting used to being practicing in the heat. And he was asked about how the heat was in terms of Denver. And he said he's been to places like New Orleans. He's been in other places like that, and that they would pray for a day like this over there. So really the heat, not a big issue for Broncos head coach Vic Fangio. So definitely something, you know, he's a guy that's out there wearing sweatpants. So not surprised, long sleeve and sweatpants. I'd be surprised if the media, the PR staff didn't have a day where the media was encouraged to wear sweatpants and a long sleeve in honor of Coach Fangio and the style that he's got going. He's probably got the most swagger on the field, according to some of the players, Emmanuel Sanders and guys like that. But even Coach Fangio provided a little bit of an update on Emmanuel Sanders by saying that, you know, we're going to ease him back in. I don't remember the exact date, going back to when he tore his Achilles in early December of last year. He says that was about 8 months ago. He's doing really good. He's not on the physically unable to perform list. It's going to be day to day with him on how much they add to his plate, and they're going to build to it and see how it goes. And you know, Emmanuel Sanders looked burstful as ever. I mean, he's still, you would have never tailed based on looking at some of the video footage taken by Nicky Jabvala, Benjamin Albright, Ryan Edwards, those guys that were there yesterday for Broncos camp. I mean, he looks good. I mean, he looks the exact same as he did last year before he even got injured. So, you know, you wouldn't think that there's any kind of limitations on him. They're limiting him right now to team drills, individual drills, things like that. So it's going to ramp up a little bit, and you could expect to see him implement a little bit later on into the 11-on-11 drills for the Broncos and everything else they have going on there. And in terms of players like Noah Fant coming in, you know, Coach Fangio was asked about him. He says, I didn't see him a lot. He says, my eyes didn't really see him pick up a lot during practices, but I'm going to check the game tape. I would be disappointed if I don't like what I see, but I think Noah's going to be a good player. It's just a matter of how fast that happens. And look, we talk about this too. I mean, he's a big target. He's a guy that does have some skills as a receiver, a big body guy that can block. But like I said, you're translating from the collegiate game to the professional game. You're going against very, very talented players. You're getting some reps with the first team. Oh, well, guess what? You're going against Von Miller. You're going against Bradley Chubb. You're gonna have to bring your A game. So I think for Noah Fant, it'll be a good test for him overall and seeing how he responds to that. And speaking of Bradley Chubb, Coach Fangio had a lot of praise for Bradley Chubb by saying he thinks Bradley Chubb is in a good spot. He thinks he's really a guy that they can use and have success with in this style of defense. He's a good edge setter. He's versatile. He can play on the inside. He's a very reliable player for a young guy. So the coaching staff has a lot of investment into Bradley Chubb early on. So that's one thing I'm excited about, because we asked and we kind of wondered the question a little bit in our storyline preview. What can Bradley Chubb do going from an impressive rookie year where he had 12 sacks and was just absolutely looking phenomenal? What can he do in year number two? Does he have to get 12 sacks to be effective in this Broncos defense? I don't think he has to. It would be nice. I know there are a lot of people saying that, look, the Broncos could go with 15 sacks between each Bradley Chubb and Von Miller to account for 30 sacks total between the pass rushing duo. I mean, that would certainly be nice. And if they're doing that, that means the Broncos defense is causing a lot of havoc. But, you know, I think overall, when we look at effectiveness, the thing to me that stands out about Bradley Chubb is being that guy that can be that edge setter. And Coach Fangio even said that he's really underrated in the way that he can even cover guys as well. So for Bradley Chubb, being getting that praise of confidence from your head coach and a guy that doesn't throw things out too often, being able to express that, hey, you know, he can cover. He's underrated in coverage. He can help us out there. He can help us in stopping the run. He can help us in getting to the quarterback. I mean, that maximizes opportunity for Bradley Chubb to stay on the field. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see like guys like Dakota Watson or even Justin Hollins try to step up and see what they're going to do. And with Todd Davis going down with a little bit of an injury, I factor in that if he is on crutches, he could miss some time. I mean, that'd be I'd say a pretty easy guesstimation there. So I'm looking forward to seeing what guys like Joe Jones and Justin Hollins are going to be doing at inside linebacker in place of him alongside Josie Jewell and this Broncos inside linebacking unit. So definitely some key things to look at after day one of Broncos practice. We're going to see some of the storylines as the Broncos return to the practice field today, day two of Broncos camp at the UCL Training Center in Inglewood, Colorado. Like I said, tomorrow's episode of Lockdown Broncos, I'm going to be joined by Sarah Bettinger, be joined by Cameron Parker. We're going to be recapping all of today's events at Broncos camp for you guys here on a Locked On Broncos podcast. We're going to get into segment number two in just a moment. We're going to talk about some of the players that stood out yesterday, some guys that I'm really excited about, and we're going to talk about a little bit in depth. But before we get into that, I got to remind you guys to check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter, your one-stop shop for all NFL news for the Locked On NFL Network, with every single local expert giving their insight into training camp for their respective teams and the storylines that play up through the preseason, through the regular season. At Locked On NFL Net on Twitter is where you have to go today to get your best coverage of all things NFL on one single feed. All right, jumping into segment number two here. Broncos who stood out yesterday in practice. We kind of went over a little bit with that in terms of who Sarah Bettinger said stood out. Bradley Chubb got a lot of praise. Trey Fumagalli got some praise in this, as well as Drew Locke. And Drew Locke kind of started things off for the Broncos yesterday in camp by launching a 50-yard touchdown pass to Juwan Winfrey. So the rookie guys getting that little connection going there, and big play. First, obviously, with the third-team offense, Drew Locke spent some time there, and, you know, he got reps. And the thing with Drew Locke is we're looking at footwork. There were some times where he did throw off of his back foot, according to some of the footage that we saw. And ultimately, he's got to get away from that a little bit because he's relied on that too much throughout the college level at Mizzou. Really kind of just throwing off that one back foot, and you create different kind of tendencies that defenses will game plan. I mean, they will look at you do that on film. They'll find ways to diagnose a little bit of pressure, and they will literally sit in some soft spots, you know, whether you're running a zone defense or you're running man. You may see some robber coverage where it's man with somebody robbing the middle of the field, and that doesn't bode well for what Drew Locke can do as a player. So Drew Locke has to continue to grow in his game, but definitely getting off to a little bit of a quick start with that connection with Juwan Winfrey, the guy who had a pretty good day at Broncos camp yesterday. Joe Flacco had targeted him earlier on, and a guy who also stood out in practice that made a play, Isaac Yiadom, wearing number 26 now. He's wearing number 41 last year. He was wearing number 26 at Broncos camp yesterday. He rose up and made a play. Joe Flacco underthrew the ball a little bit, and Isaac Yiadom went and made a play on the football, which, you know, we've been talking about it, and a lot of people in Broncos country said, you know, the one thing they see with Isaac Yiadom is he has a hard time finishing plays. Well, in Broncos camp, he was out there. He was making plays. He was having pretty good coverage, and he's focused going into year number two of his career where he believes he can do even better. He's got a big chip on his shoulder. So he had a standout day yesterday. Can he keep that momentum going? Because look, guys behind him too, like Devontae Bosby had an interception on Kevin Hogan and returned it for a touchdown. You know, so Kevin Hogan struggled a little bit. We'll talk about players that maybe had a little bit of a slow start in just a moment. But, you know, guys like Kevin Hogan, who's trying to compete for that backup spot, Drew Locke having a good day certainly should propel him to maybe get some reps with the second team offense at some point during camp. But yeah, Kevin Hogan's a guy that can't be stationary. He can't be a guy that just settles with, okay, I think I'm the backup guy. I'm just going to go out there and play like a backup. I mean, he's got to have that competitive edge as well. And he didn't have a very good day on day one of Broncos camp. But guys like Isaac Yiadom, Bradley Chubb, Juwan Winfrey had pretty good days. And, you know, I think ultimately this is a good test that we're seeing from these young guys here in Broncos uniforms coming in and making plays, trying to find a fit. And like I said, the Broncos have 13 wide receivers at camp right now. So everybody's, has to come in and make a good impression. I mean, Cortland Sutton's got to come in and make a strong impression. Even if he's had a big season last year as a rookie, entering year two, the expectations are pretty high for him. I mean, on Wednesday at the media barbecue, John Elway said every player at every position should feel pressure. They should have pressure on them because we got to come out here as a team. And this is all according to John Elway, not me, as in I'm the Broncos, but John Elway saying we need to, you know, everybody's got to have the mindset that we have to come out and compete. And we believe that we can win every game. We believe that we can be in every single football game. It's all about execution. It's all about avoiding those mistakes. So guys like that have to really kind of analyze exactly where they're at in their game. They have to grow. And we'll talk about Cortland Sutton a little bit because he got off to a little bit of a slow start in day one of Broncos camp. But even Philip Lindsay, I mean, Evan Silva, okay? If you guys saw on Twitter, I got in a little bit of a discussion with Evan Silva because he had shared something from the Denver Post saying that, you know, in rookie minicamp, or not rookie minicamp, but in spring minicamp, that Royce Freeman hogged all the first team carries and Philip Lindsay didn't get a single carry in the spring. He kind of pumped out a false narrative that Royce Freeman is the guy and he was taking all these reps and Philip Lindsay wasn't doing anything. Philip Lindsay didn't participate in the spring because he was unable to. He was limited by injury. So to kill that narrative, and you know, that guy has a big, big ego. I don't really care to get into it with him. You can't really reach or connect or even discuss anything with people with a big ego because they're very, very sensitive. So Evan Silva, very sensitive and, you know, definitely a guy I would say, you know, avoid following him. He's one of those daily fantasy sport guys. It just doesn't work out. He's got a little mob of followers and fanboys over there. Not a big fan of it. I don't respect it. So the way that he tried to come at me, I don't appreciate it, especially when he's out of market. He has no idea what the heck he's talking about. But Philip Lindsay was a star standout yesterday in Broncos camp and day one of practice, and he looked burstful. And Coach Fangio said it himself, like, you know, he suffered an unusual wrist injury, but his feet were never an issue. His legs were never an issue. He is bounceful. I mean, he's got that bounce to his step. He's very fast. He's got that quick twitch muscle fiber, and he's a guy that really excelled, I think, too. And the plan for him is to evolve even more in the passing game as a receiver. So we saw yesterday with Phil Blunzy, very good running, quickness, a great burst of speed, and also receiving out of the backfield, being a threat. So for Joe Flacco, I mean, you have a really good security blanket there. Royce Freeman as well also stood out in the passing game as well as a receiver, looked a little bit more crisper according to a lot of people there in media, guys that I talk to and rely on. When I'm not there, they said he looked pretty good today. And Rich Scangarello's offensive scheme, you know, zone style scheme fits Royce Freeman very, very well. And DeVonte Jackson, like I said, one of those running backs that could be pushing DeVonte Booker, had him self a day at Broncos camp day one as well. So Broncos camp day two of practice begins once again today. So make sure if you're out there at Broncos camp, please bring some Body Armor sports drink with you. Take a picture of it, share it with me. I'll retweet it out, send it to the guys over there at Body Armor sports drink. And I want to thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Broncos podcast, providing us with superior hydration in Broncos camp. We're going to get to segment number three in just a moment. We're going to talk about maybe players who had a little bit of a slow start day one of practice. We're going to hear a little bit from former Broncos safety and host of the Safety Blitz on 104.3 The Fan, my good friend Nick Ferguson, coming up in segment number three. We're here for segment number three of Locked On Broncos, and I'm joined by Nick Ferguson, host of the Safety Blitz on 104.3 The Fan, out there at Broncos camp for day one, and he's going to join us to give us his thoughts on what he saw from the Broncos as they kicked off the first official practice at the UCL Training Center in Inglewood, Colorado. Nick, how's it going, my man?
Hey, man, it is going well, man. It's been a great day here in Broncos country, and the fans came out and drove today. It was really exciting. I mean, with it being a first practice, you never know how it's going to go with the players and the fans, but it was a great day today.
So outside of the close to 100-degree weather that I know everybody kind of encountered a little bit, Broncos fans still finding a way to make it out there. And I anticipate more and more fans are going to pile in, especially on today being Friday and obviously over the weekend and into next week as Broncos camp continues. But, you know, Nick, one of the things we were talking about a little bit earlier in the show is, you know, everyone was talking about, you know, how's Philip Lindsay going to look? Well, I wouldn't expect anything different from Philip Lindsay, given the fact that he did have a wrist injury last year. I didn't imagine that his legs were going to be any different. I think he's going to have that fresh bouncy step. And a lot of reports say he looked like a baby deer out there.
I mean, that's a great way to put it, man. He had some spring in his step. You could tell that, you know, he still had something to prove, and he wanted to come out into this training camp and really show people and remind them what he was last year, coming in as an undrafted, you know, free agent, was able to make his first Pro Bowl. And you said it, I mean, he's coming back from a wrist injury, and you have to be optimistic about that. I know the huge concern was how much playing time was he going to receive in the preseason, but watching him out there today, you would have never thought that, you know, he had that wrist injury. But we have to keep things in perspective because it's just a wrist injury. I would be a little more concerned if it was more of a lower leg, you know, type of injury, but it's not. But when he came out, I mean, the crowd just went nuts. When you talk about a difference between 2 years, coming out that first training camp, that first day, no one knew who he was. I mean, from an overall standpoint of being a Bronco, they knew who he was from being a member of the CU Buffs. But Phil Lindsay came out and the crowd went bananas.
It looked like there were a lot of number 30 jerseys in the crowd from a lot of the fans, and that just goes to show his rising popularity, being a Colorado guy, being a guy that played at CU, having the year that he had last year. You know, there's a lot of talk on him, and also one thing I noticed too, receiving it out of the backfield, there tends to be a little bit of a plan out of Rich Scangarello where they want to utilize him more in the passing game as well, which that's where we really saw him kind of step up in training camp last season. He was the guy that they'd motion out wide into an empty formation, and he'd be a guy they'd throw the ball to in the quick flats and things like that. So we didn't see too much of that as the regular season progressed last year, but the plans seem to be ramping up for him a little bit there. But also his counterpart too, Nick, you know, we talk about Royce Freeman and this style of offense, and you know this scheme a little bit well because you served as a coaching intern last year for the 49ers. You got to be around Coach Scangarello a little bit. What can the Broncos expect from him as an offensive coordinator for the first time of his career? But he's a very, very bright football mind. What do you think the offense can look for in a guy like Scangarello in year one as an OC?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned, you know, Phillip Lindsay and how well he caught the ball out of the backfield last year. That is what you're going to see. You're going to see somewhat of a version of that because last year you had Jet McKinnon and we also had Matt Breida. And after McKinnon, you know, got injured last year, you know, Breida took most of the snaps and he was spectacular in between the tackles, but also getting out on the edge. And Phillip Lindsay, we played them, you know, last season. That was when the Broncos were trying to make their playoff push. And all season long on the defensive side, we were talking about Phillip Lindsay and being able to stop him. And he's not a real big back, so you think he can't run between the tackles. But, I mean, the guy plays much larger than his size. So, I mean, watching him at practice today, you can see they were trying to ease him back into it, get him back in the flow of it, introduce the offense. But you saw a lot of the same things we ran last year in San Francisco, you know, those quick passes. Because the idea is, you know, you like to match up with Phillip Lindsay on any safety or any linebacker. So they didn't show a lot, but I expect to see a lot of those flare passes trying to get those one-on-one matches with Phillip Lindsay.
Nick Ferguson, host of the Safety Blitz on 104.3 The Fan, joining us to talk about day one of Broncos camp and some other questions here for you, Nick. We talk about Phillip Lindsay. We talk about him being the talk of day one of Broncos camp. Let's flip it to the defensive side of the ball a little bit. We see guys like young guys entering year number two. You're a defensive back guy just like me. And we saw Isaac Yiadom out there making plays today. What is something that you've noticed with Isaac Yiadom? You saw a little bit of him last year when the Broncos played the 49ers up there. But what is something you noticed him? He had an interception today of Joe Flacco going against Juwan Winfrey. He's a guy that Broncos fans have a lot of high expectations on.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of high expectations. You got to think, when Yiadom came out of Boston College, the idea was that he had the size and speed that most defensive coordinators would like to play in the NFL, because now teams are moving away from the smaller defensive back, trying to get more of a long, rangy, lanky guy to match up with some of these big wide receivers. So it was great to see Yiadom make the play today and pulled down the interception. That was something that I'm sure was a big confidence boost for him, because last year when we faced him, you know, in Santa Clara, I mean, we didn't really think too much of him. He was a young guy who was trying to find his way, trying to understand what it's like to play in the NFL system. And he hurt his arm, but even before that, you know, he wasn't one of those guys that we were afraid of. The idea was that we wanted to attack him, and attack him that we did. So that's why it was good for me to see Yiadom out there going out and competing for the ball and actually hauling it in. So it's a lot of upside. We just have to see. It's only the first day, so a lot can change. But day two is going to be really important for guys like Isaac Yiadom.
So we see guys go from day one having a good camp on the offensive, defensive side of the balls. Guys like Yadam, guys like Bradley Chubb, who Coach Fangio has a lot of praise for. In your mind, by being out there at practice day one, who were some players, in your opinion, that maybe got off to a little bit of a slow start that you look forward to seeing them bounce back day two and maybe having a bigger day?
Well, it was the one guy who, you know, coming into year two, you expected him to really explode because he had, you know, last year this time, I mean, he was the darling of training camp. The fans couldn't get enough of him, and that's Courtland Sutton. I mean, it was one guy, and he was the guy that I expected to really take that next step because I definitely talked about it. With the fact of Emmanuel Sanders, you know, being held out of a lot of the drills, and we expect that, you know, Sanders will not play in, you know, several of the preseason games. Courtland Sutton needed to be that guy to step up, develop that chemistry with Joe Flacco. But looking at some of the throws, it looked like there was a little, you know, hesitation. The timing and the rhythm was a little off with Joe Flacco and Courtland Sutton. And this was different now because in OTAs, they looked like they had started that rhythm, find that rhythm that the quarterback and the wide receiver wants to find. But today, I don't know if it was the first day jitters. I don't know what it was, but they, you know, they didn't make the connections. And there were several passes that, you know, Courtland Sutton dropped. And typically you don't see him drop that many passes. And there was one case in practice where Courtland Sutton was matched up with Bryce Callahan, which is, you know, smaller defensive back. And when you just look over at the sheer size of Courtland Sutton, you know, he just kind of he just looks like a man, you know, amongst boys when he's facing Bryce Callahan. And he had an opportunity to make a great catch on the sideline and move the chains, and he didn't do it. And it just seemed like that was kind of the scene today for Courtland Sutton. You know, a lot of drop balls, a lot of missed opportunities. And I can tell you, you know, being in San Francisco and Rich Gangarello, and also, you know, playing with Mike Shanahan, you don't want a lot of balls on the ground. And that's what I saw. It was too many balls on the ground. So I'm sure they're going to look at that film today, come back tomorrow with a better, you know, emphasis on keeping the ball off the ground, and hopefully Courtland Sutton can bounce back tomorrow and have a better day in day two.
And we talked about Emmanuel Sanders coming back from that Achilles injury, and based on looking at some of the video, it doesn't appear that, you know, he's really lost a step. I mean, you wouldn't factor this is a guy that tore his Achilles 7 to 8 months ago based on how he's running. Obviously, the coaching staff easing him in, obviously going through individual drills and some team drills here and there, but none of the 11-on-11, 7-on-7 stuff just yet. We see him. We talk about the youth behind Emmanuel Sanders. We talk about Courtland Sutton having a rough day one. What about guys like Deshaun Hamilton, Tim Patrick? And I also wanted to mention another guy that the Broncos just signed on the roster in the last 24 hours in Michael Dunbar Jr., a guy you have familiarity with by being a coaching intern over there at the 49ers, kind of taking that roster spot after Aaron Burbridge announced from his agent that he would be retiring from the NFL.
Well, you know, it was really unique because that was my first time seeing, you know, Dunbar Jr., you know, when they were coming off the field when practice broke. And we were still on air at the time, and when I saw him, I nearly took my headphones off, and I just kind of yelled across the field at him and had him to come over. I mean, this is a guy who worked his tail off, you know, yesterday on last season on the practice squad. And I told him, I said, look, you definitely have an opportunity because the Broncos have a lot of inexperience, you know, at that wide receiver position. You have the luxury of Scangarello knowing you, T.C. McCarthy, the quarterback coach, knowing you, because T.C. was running him through some, you know, some route combinations, because Dunbar just got in last night. He said he just got in last night. He went through all his physicals, so now he's just trying to absorb everything and take it in. I told him he's in a great place, you know, to be, to compete. And I say, look, Sutton dropped a lot of balls today, right? And that's something that everyone's going to be talking about. And this is where he can come in as a guy who knows the system. He can come in and he can lead the guys in that room. He's going to be counted on to lead the guys in that room. I mean, you talk about Deshaun Hamilton. He had a pretty decent day. He caught some passes. You know, he caught the ball, put his foot on the ground, and got vertical. Also, you know, River Craycraft is another guy who you're trying to figure out, where does he fit? Is he an outside guy? Is he a guy that you can put in the slot that you can count on? So there's several wide receivers now will have a lot of time to actually get those reps, because as we progress in camp, those reps are going to go down. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. Now, Brendan Lane is trying to make that transition. Last year for the Broncos, he was on the defensive side of the ball. now he's trying to make that jump. And then that's hard for a lot of guys to make that jump and go from offense to defense on the same team. But, you know, Langley is a guy who, you know, we always talk about his speed. We know he's very athletic, but the problem is field awareness. And that came into play today because there was outside throw. The crowd went crazy. He jumped up, he leaped up, he caught the ball. But the only problem with that is he was out of bounds, right? You can't make those type of plays and not have that field awareness. So I'm looking for Brandon Langley to have a better day tomorrow.
I look forward to seeing that too. We know that he could possibly provide, even, you know, we talk about the Broncos right now at camp. They have 13 wide receivers on that roster right now, just guys trying to fight for a roster spot. And sometimes for some of these guys, the best way to make a roster at a position where there are so many guys is special teams. So for me, I kind of envisioned when Brandon Langley announced he was going to transition from cornerback to receiver, I envisioned that the best possible way for him to prove himself is obviously getting reps in the spring, coming through and impressing in training camp, but also excelling, I think, on special teams, kind of how Matthew Slater does for the New England Patriots as a gunner. He can find a lot of work there as well, and it can improve, obviously, his speed element being a big factor of getting downfield and making plays, which is what Coach Fangio wants. Tom McMahon, special teams coordinator, he wants that from his guys. There's a lot of talent there. Now, we talk about Todd Davis going down with a little bit of a calf injury, and according to some sources, it's expected to be minor. He was seen after practice walking out on crutches. You know, some people always kind of overlooked that a little bit. Crutches, I think, is just to get him off of his feet as he awaits results from an MRI. Obviously, losing him as a defensive leader, if he misses significant amount of time in camp, not very good for the Broncos at this point, but it's a good opportunity for young guys like Joe Jones or even Justin Holland's fifth-round pick out of Oregon. What are your quick thoughts on those guys possibly stepping up in the absence of Todd Davis?
Well, you know what, there's been a lot of question marks swirling around this team as far as position groups are concerned, and a linebacker group was definitely one of them. This is a group that I felt was one of the more weaker groups with this 2019 Broncos team, and that's why, I mean, I was rooting, just like everyone else, for the Broncos to take Devin Bush, you know, instead of Noah Fant, because now, you know, you lack, you know, the athleticism that you want to play, you know, this type of defense that Fant Venger is bringing in, and you don't have that depth right now. Like you said, it's only a calf, was being reported as a calf. You have to hope that it's not going to turn into something serious or if it's something more severe than what's being reported. So now that leaves guys like Josie Jules, and you talked about, you know, Joe Jones being another guy, and Alexander Johnson, and Dakota Watson, we had him last year in San Francisco. And Dakota is more of an outside type of guy than inside. You know, he's not a guy that you want to, you know, put in space, sort of like Josie Jules. So Josie Jules, I mean, this is his opportunity. He now has to step up. He has to lead. And Josie Jules is one of those throwback type of linebackers, one of those guys who's going to mix it up and run down here on the run game. But he just has, you know, difficulties or deficiencies in the pass game. So now he's going to have to find a way to be a better player. And this could force Coach Vangio to move some guys around and put them in certain positions that they're not known for playing. But, you know, the adversity strikes. It happens in training camp, and it's unfortunate that it happened on the first day. But this is part of football. Injuries happen. You have to know how to adjust. And once again, the great thing is that it's happening earlier in camp, and you can move guys around to get them that experience. So if you need them later on in the season, now they are prepared because – they've actually had an opportunity to practice at that Mike backer position.
Even speaking of an opportunity, Coach Fangio earlier in the spring during minicamp mentioned that Sua Craven's best opportunity to make this roster is to make it as a safety. Do you think with this injury to Todd Davis that it could propel Sua Craven into a better position to make the 53-man roster?
Absolutely. I mean, you never know where you may fit on the defense until someone goes down. So Cravens, you know, he played a similar type of role when he was with the Washington Redskins. But the only issue that I guess I had with Sua Cravens at that time was, even though he played in the box, he's a bigger body type guy. He could be your hybrid type of guy or your kind of rover type of back if you want to. We want to call it that. It is the fact of concussions. Now, that's something that has plagued him, you know, his entire career ever since coming out of USC. And that's why we saw limited action, you know, with Sua Cravens in Washington. You hope that that is not a problem. But looking at what the Broncos now have at the two inside linebacker positions, I wouldn't be surprised and Fangio just kind of put him down there for a couple of practices until Todd Davis comes back, especially when the pads come on. Today, there wasn't any pads, so, I mean, the linebackers that you have in right now, they're okay, but once the pads come on, now maybe you rotate Sue Cravens down there. This could be an opportunity for him to show the coaches, listen, I mean, I can play safety, I can play strong, I can play free. If you need me to play a hybrid, you know, linebacker to match up with backs and tight ends, I can do that as well. Because when it comes to the NFL, it's about the more that you can do.
And I think that definitely gives you the opportunity. The best availability, playability is being available to play. And, you know, for guys like Sua Cravens looking to rebound, really after having a really rough season with the Broncos last year, things didn't go the way he planned. We look for the evolution of guys like Will Parks, Justin Simmons from the safety position. I know you got your eyes on those guys a little bit. But, you know, Nick, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to join us here on Locked On Broncos to talk about day one Broncos camp. Day two begins today. And obviously, everyone, Broncos country, going to be out there in full force. We look forward to seeing those guys step up that maybe had a little slow start on day one, and who's going to turn heads in day two of Broncos camp. And you guys can catch Nick weekdays on 104.3 The Fan as he hosts the Safety Blitz. And Nick, as always, my man, I appreciate you for always hopping on here and talking football with us, and I look forward to seeing you next week in person when I'm there for Broncos camp.
Absolutely, man. Anytime. We definitely have to make sure that we connect when you come in town.
That'll do it, everybody, for today's episode of Locked On Broncos. You guys are heading out to day two of Broncos practice today. Be sure to stop in and say hi to Sarah Bettinger and our co-host Cameron Parker. We'll be recording an episode tonight following Broncos day two camp at the UCL Training Center in Inglewood, Colorado. For tomorrow's episode of Locked On Broncos, you guys are going to get a Saturday episode, you guys are going to get a Sunday episode, and then obviously you're going to get Monday through Friday of next week. So a lot of action here on the Locked On Broncos podcast. I want to thank you guys for making us your go-to every single day for Broncos news, analysis, and coverage. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke. We'll see you tomorrow.